WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Senate about to take up Pete Hegseth's nomination as defense secretary. Two Republicans have already said they'll vote no. Kentucky's Mitch McConnell hasn't said one way or the other.
Even if there are three Republican no votes, it doesn't mean that Hegseth's nomination would go down, because in that case, J.D. Vance could come in and be the tie-breaking vote. It means that Hegseth would maybe slimly get his confirmation, but he would still get his confirmation nonetheless.
ABC's Jay O'Brien. President Trump surveyed Hurricane Helene damage in North Carolina and wildfire devastation in Los Angeles. He said what he saw in Southern California was not even believable. His words. A defective battery problem spurring Ford Motor Company to recall almost 273,000 Bronco and Maverick Sport Utes. The battery issue, they were made in China, can cause the vehicles to suddenly stop or fail to start. No reports of accidents, fires, or injuries. This is ABC News. Lawyers for an Ohio pastor will appeal his conviction for sheltering homeless people.
For more than a year, Pastor Chris Savelle has opened his church, Dad's Place, around the clock to shelter and give hope to homeless people. On Tuesday, a city judge in Bryan, Ohio, found him guilty of violating zoning and fire codes. His attorneys last year filed a federal lawsuit accusing the city of harassing and humiliating the church and its congregants. During the appeal, the church remains open to temporarily shelter people.
ABC's Chuck Severton. Pandas are back at the National Zoo. The new pair made its debut after getting acclimated to their new environment following last year's arrival.
We woke up at 6:30, bright and early, and we drove out from Capitol Hill, and seeing them was so cool. They're huge. They're way bigger than I thought.
She had her granddaughter in tow.
So cute to see her so excited to see the panda. It's her first panda that she's ever seen.
I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks beat the Heat. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks won their fifth game in a row, 125-96 over the Miami Heat. The Bucks didn't get back to Milwaukee until less than 3 hours before the game after being stuck in a blizzard for 3 days in New Orleans at the team hotel. Damian Lillard led with 29 points and had a pregame speech before the tip-off.
The situation that we were in, you know, the last couple of days is obvious, but you don't want the room to just be quiet and everybody to just kind of go out there and see what's going to happen. So for me, I just wanted to put that energy out there. Like, you know, nobody going to feel bad for us. Ain't no excuses. I don't want to hear I'm tired or I ain't feeling like you got to take the opportunity for the team to even have that type of mentality away. As a leader of a team, you got to let the team know off the rip, like, we not doing that. We not having excuses. I don't care about the flight. I don't care. We've been in a hotel. Like, you gotta take that away from the team.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Oscar nominations came out yesterday. 10 movies were nominated for Best Picture. But in the Best Supporting Actor category, there were 5 nominees, including Yura Borisov for Anora, Edward Norton for his role opposite Timothée Chalamet in the Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown. Guy Pearce was nominated for his role in The Brutalist. Kieran Culkin for the comedy drama A Real Pain. And his Succession co-star Jeremy Strong drew a nomination for his part in The Apprentice. A Complete Unknown, The Brutalist, and Anora all drew Best Picture nominations as well. In the Best Supporting Actor Actress category, it was more good news for A Complete Unknown, as Monica Barbaro was nominated, to no one's surprise. Ariana Grande got a nod for her role in the blockbuster Wicked. Felicity Jones for The Brutalist. Isabella Rossellini is up for her role in Conclave. And after showing her musical side, the Academy recognized Zoe Saldana for her role in Emilia Perez. Every film these actresses were in was also nominated for Best Picture. Nice job, girls. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, a few flurries tonight and lows in the mid-teens. A mix of sun and clouds and blustery tomorrow, highs in the low 30s. Mid-20s and mostly sunny Sunday. A January thaw into next week, highs climbing through the 30s, even a few 40s. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
Ooh, let's unplug from the politics and rock some local tunes on Max Inc. This week, we welcome Or Does It Explode and Chicago Blues Hall of Famer Paul Flipwitz. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to a Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Hey, I am awake, and I hear rumors you're going to be going, Haley, you and your friends are going to be hanging out with the big auntie celebration today.
I am. Yeah, that's tonight at the Parkway Theater in Minneapolis. Big auntie energy, the sharp, witty, a little outrageous, and all indigenous. Getting resi at the Parkway, the all Ojibwe comedy trio of Deanna Standing Cloud, Rob Fairbanks, and Trish Cook with host Gabriel Nightshield will be at the Parkway tonight. Very excited, in for a lot of belly laughs, I'm sure.
Right on. And Wendy, you'll be on later on in the show. And we have State Senator Mary Kunish, too. So there's also a thing, too, that's happening this month of January that maybe you two could talk about a little bit.
Yeah, so January is actually Cervical Cancer Awareness Month. And Illuminative put out a great post on Instagram, and it was highlighting that Native women are actually over 1.5 times more likely to develop cervical cancer than white women, but all people with the cervix are at risk. So screening is what helps saves lives. Illuminative says that this January, let's raise awareness for cervical cancer by promoting the HPV vaccination and cervical cancer screening to our relatives. Wear turquoise and spread the word to take action. So Pinagiki Illuminative for spreading the word.
Yeah, that is. It's so important because it's preventable. So HPV vaccines when you're a kid, I think you get them before like 12 years old. And then regular pap smears every year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know what, when they start, how old you are when they start, but yeah.
I think it's like 21 or something.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure exactly, but yeah, every year go get checked.
Definitely. Yeah. Hey, I just got to bring up a couple of quick things here. Native country, you guys, is on red alert right now, and we don't know what's going on in the federal end. So our relatives have been getting arrested down in
Navajo,
you know, Arizona and Oklahoma and those states, the southern states, where they're not carrying their tribal IDs, which you should, and are being confused with our immigrant relatives. And so everyone have your tribal ID have emergency numbers, and we are heading towards or are in some dark times here in Indian country for sure.
It's really scary. A friend of mine, Florence, you know, Robert, I talk about her all the time. She was really smart. She was an immigration lawyer. Wow. And what she posted today, this was yesterday, she posted on social media, I mailed Trump a copy of the Constitution during his first term. Guess he never got around to reading it. Jeez. And this is what she said. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside.
Well, and that's
like what doesn't he
that's mean, what's got to happen is lawsuits and suing and we have to. The only thing that he really got done his first time around was that he was able to give rich people a tax break.
Yeah,
and that's still going on, but all his other bills were put up against in court and battles and weren't passed. So we have to stay vigilant and talk about these things and get them out there so people can get a hold of their Congress people, their legislators, and say, you know, we don't want this racist BS that's coming down.
That's right. The Minnesota Star Tribune also put, and hopefully we have more of these federal judges.
Right.
You know? So a federal judge, this was on January 23rd, from the Minnesota Star Trib, a federal judge temporarily blocks Trump's executive order for redefining birthright citizenship. So we just need smart people. We need to elect judges that are going to do stuff like this. We have to elect
and like people that
are going to fight against him.
Yeah. So it may be dark and dreary, but there's people that are on top of this too, like that federal judge. That,
yeah.
So he's gonna have a heck of a time, and every 2 years there's an election. So the people that are voting against people, we're gonna have a rough time getting reelected too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we got to keep it going, you know.
All right. Well, this is a sunny show. I'm sorry.
Fun Friday.
Well, anytime you bring the subject of Trump into the mixture, it's not going to be sunshine and rainbows.
No.
God looks depressed when we talk about
it. Poor Wanda.
Wanda.
I want to give a shout out to Allie.
Yeah.
Her dog Daisy just crossed the rainbow bridge today, 14 years.
Oh.
Yeah. So
you know what,
it's always really a hard thing. Yeah, Robert, tell people.
I'm sorry. I always respond to that with family and a heart because they are family.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's hard to move past that. You know, we know when we get the dog, they're not gonna live as long as we do, and they're not going to be here as long as we are, and we know that day is going to come. And
we don't know that now at our age.
What's that one quote that it always helps me? It's like you may be a part of, or a dog may be a part of your life for a little bit of time, but for them you're their whole life.
That's right.
Haley, why are you making me cry here?
Fun Friday.
Yeah. It's very emotional today.
Very fun Friday. Maybe you should give us a preview, Wendy, of a fun fact real quick.
Question. Jeez. I always have a lot of them. I have to find them. I don't know them offhand. I mean, some of them you guys know like really well. And
Haley listens to the show. She probably knows them all. I listen to it once in a while.
I know, but these are like mostly like kid things. But all right. So maybe you don't know this one. How many legs does a lobster have?
Two legs.
No, in the arms.
Their arms.
That's their claws. You'd be surprised to know, but a lobster has 10 legs.
Oh, you're making stuff 10? Up.
No, it's here. If it's here, then it's
on the internet.
Do they look like little thin stick things?
Well, you know that old saying, don't believe everything you read on the internet. And that was signed by Abraham Lincoln.
There was one here that I read, you know, before I came on. I was like, wow, that's an amazing I'm going to see if I can find it. Yeah, I don't know. Well, there's only one breed of dog that has a black tongue. Do you know what breed of dog that is?
Is that Golden Retriever?
Mm-mm.
No, really?
No, but yeah.
German Shepherd.
No, close. A Chow Chow.
Oh, I would have never guessed that.
Has a black tongue.
That's a dog dog.
Yeah. Chow.
Jeez.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know what? There's a lot. I'm going to find this one. I'm going to tell it to you because it was some kind of thing like how much bamboo does a panda eat per day?
Oh, I saw something like that.
85 pounds of bamboo they eat a day.
Wow.
No, that seems like a
lot. Doesn't bamboo have a lot of water in it?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
It has a lot of bamboo in it too, Haley.
Apparently.
Well, there's a difference. Oh, there's only 1 minute. What is the difference between an African and an Asian elephant? Their ears. It's their ears. African elephants have larger ears than Asian elephants have smaller ears.
Oh.
Now you know.
Jeez. Now I know everything. Well, hey, Wendy, that's just a little teaser for the fun facts coming up here in the fourth segment. And next we have Senator Mary Kunish sent us some great segments. So, hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
Stay with us.
News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Senate about to take up Pete Hegseth's nomination as defense secretary. Two Republicans have already said they'll vote no. Kentucky's Mitch McConnell hasn't said one way or the other.
Even if there are three Republican no votes, it doesn't mean that Hegseth's nomination would go down, because in that case, J.D. Vance could come in and be the tie-breaking vote. It means that Hegseth would maybe slimly get his confirmation, but he would still get his confirmation nonetheless.
ABC's Jay O'Brien. President Trump surveyed Hurricane Helene damage in North Carolina and wildfire devastation in Los Angeles. He said what he saw in Southern California was not even believable. His words. A defective battery problem spurring Ford Motor Company to recall almost 273,000 Bronco and Maverick Sport Utes. The battery issue, they were made in China, can cause the vehicles to suddenly stop or fail to start. No reports of accidents, fires, or injuries. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks beat the Heat. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks won their fifth game in a row, 125-96 over the Miami Heat. The Bucks didn't get back to Milwaukee until less than 3 hours before the game after being stuck in a blizzard for 3 days in New Orleans at the team hotel. Damian Lillard led with 29 points and had a pregame speech before the tip-off.
The situation that we were in, you know, the last couple of days is obvious, but you don't want the room to just be quiet and everybody to just kind of go out there and see what's going to happen. So for me, I just wanted to put that energy out there, like, you know, nobody gonna feel bad for us. Ain't no excuses. I don't want to hear I'm tired or I ain't feeling. Like, you got to take the opportunity for the team to even have that type of mentality away. As a leader of a team, you got to let the team know off the rip, like, we not doing that. We not having excuses. I don't care about the flight. I don't care we've been in a hotel. Like, you gotta take that away from the team.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. If you're looking for a new hobby that requires almost absolutely no activity, consider herkel-derkeling. It's a centuries-old Scottish tradition. Herkel-derkeling translates to the art of lazing in bed. The practice encourages people to stay in their pajamas and not get up. Most of us consider this being lazy or depressed, but if you use the phrase herkel-derkel, it makes it sound more clinical. Still probably not an acceptable excuse for being late to work. Now, hotels are encouraging people to take a herkel-derkel stay. Yes, by all means, go spend a few $100 a night to stay in bed and not do anything. Money well spent. Amy Schumer says she might actually be canceled after admitting to hooking up with a fan. She talked about the experience on the Call Her Daddy podcast, saying that a professional baseball player who was a huge fan visited her for a rendezvous in her hotel room one night. She goes into more detail on the podcast. Let's just say they did more than herkel-derkel. Schumer's new comedy special, Kind of Pregnant, drops February 5th on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, a few flurries tonight and lows in the mid-teens. A mix of sun and clouds and blustery tomorrow, highs in the low 30s. mid-20s and mostly sunny Sunday. A January thaw into next week, highs climbing through the 30s, even a few 40s. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Is there an absolute right and wrong in things and in society?
Sure.
So somebody on the other side is clearly supporting something that is wrong, and I'm supposed to...
Well, it's a two-way street. I think if we all would become open to talk and dialogue, we could get somewhere. The space between you can only be bridged by trying to understand what it is the other person is thinking and why.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay, will discuss the fallout from tribal and U.S. citizens getting caught up in the immigration sweeps. Also, which cabinet picks are in and out. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm Ian. I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis. Hey, it's Fun Friday here, and we have our weekly update from our friend, Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish. Let's go ahead and take a listen to part one.
Hello, everybody. This is State Senator Mary Kunish coming to you from a chilly, chilly Minnesota. We've had some really cold wind in the last couple of days, cold weather. I think it started back on Saturday when we were outside for the People's March, and maybe we had a day of reprieve, but it's been cold up here in the north. I miss all that snow that they've been getting down in the south, but hopefully we'll get some of that snow one of these days. This is our second week in the Minnesota legislative session, and we have been busy, busy over in the Minnesota Senate. The Senate has continued to work under shared governance agreement between the Democrats and the Republicans, because at this moment we are tied as far as how many members we each have. So there isn't a majority. We are even as can be, with a special election coming up next week, where I'm pretty confident and hopeful that a Dem will replace Carrie Dietzick. She was our state senator that passed away, and that will bring the Democrats back into a one-person majority. Very precarious, but nonetheless, it is a majority. So the committee that I chair, which is Education Finance, is operating a little differently than we usually do. I have been sharing the gavel with my GOP co-chair. And so each day we have been exchanging the gavel and who gets to run the committee and decide which bills are going to be heard, or maybe we aren't going to hear any bills and we're having informational hearings from the Department of Education. We had a really great hearing from our demographer who was able to tell us or give us an idea of the changes in the population across Minnesota. And while we continue to hear that that more people move out than move in, we still have plenty of folks moving into Minnesota, and that's due to a lot of different things. I don't know. They came and looked in this last week of cold if they would be so willing to come to Minnesota, but she had a lot to tell us. Anyways, as I said, we've been sharing the committee chair back and forth between Republicans and Democrats, and it's actually working really, really well. In education, we do not have the kind of budget that we had 2 years ago, where we had a couple billion dollars to spend on our education. And in fact, that we have to sort of tighten our belt now. We had a lot of one-time spending that isn't there. The COVID dollars stopped. And so we just don't have as many dollars to put into all the things state government, and we recognize that we Dems as the majority, and we're making the adjustment as best that we can. But we're really, really concerned about what's happening at the federal level, because what happens in Washington, D.C. is an important part of the ability for us to get the resources and help create the kind of life every Minnesotan wants, because there is the threat of undoing a lot of the departments at the federal level. So the Department of Education was threatened to be dismantled, and I don't really know what that means, but we do know that there are a lot of uncertainties ahead. And one of the key things for sure in Minnesota is that we have spent decades of strengthening protections and expanding the rights for all of the people that live in the state of Minnesota, no matter their gender, their location, their job, the language that they speak, where they came from, their age, all of those things. So for example, in the last 2 years, we were able to strengthen protections for refugee and immigrant neighbors, in ensuring for sure access to critical services like healthcare, education, and a driver's license. We were also able to make Minnesota the very first state to protect transgender people in our Human Rights Act. And we actually became a trans refuge state to offer some of the protections that everyone else in Minnesota has, but a little more welcoming, especially for trans folks or families that have trans children who are nervous and afraid to live in other states where they might not be able to live the way that they want. And we actually made Minnesota the very first state to secure the right to reproductive freedoms in state law after the U.S. Supreme Court overruled Roe versus Wade. So we are an island. We are sort of a mecca in the Midwest. And we're honestly, I'll say Democrats, are really fully prepared to defend these and the other victories that really make such a difference to Minnesota workers and families. We fought for years to ensure that Minnesota remains a safe and prosperous place to live. And I guess we can't really predict the future, but we are as prepared as we could be, honestly, really and truly, to act, and probably unwillingly might even have to go backwards in the important progress that we've made. But just know that we will be working very, very hard to ensure that all Minnesotans have the same opportunities and resources available to live a good life. I mentioned the cold, and this past Saturday, it was the People's March, and we saw that happening all over the country. And I ended up spending my afternoon at the state capitol outside with a lot of hundreds and hundreds of people participating in, and I got to speak at the People's March that was organized by the Women's March of Minnesota. And one of the reasons that I was there is because, first of all, it was a coming together for a powerful call for equality. But I had the honor of addressing the crowd about the importance of Minnesota having an Equal Rights Amendment, the ERA, in our state constitution. And Saturday provided me that opportunity to reaffirm that Minnesota stands as a defining place where we have that opportunity to lead the nation by advancing equality and dignity for all. And what I'm hoping is that if not this year, we will indeed put a question to the voters in 2026 about around a constitutional amendment that commits Minnesota to securing a future of fairness and respect and equal rights for all people, regardless of their gender and their age, their country of origin, their reproductive choices, all of those things. It's really so important to have those freedoms. And I'm really worried about our immigrant communities. I'm worried about the families and the possibility of separation like we've seen in the past when the Trump was, era was 4 years ago. I know that schools are preparing the students and the teachers and the community for division of their children, of their students. And what a sad thing. What a very, very sad thing to do when we don't, when we have to, when there are people that would separate families for those reasons. And Trump is really looking at the birthright issue when it comes to citizenship. And what is really, really horrifying is that he is also looking at American Indian birthright and citizenship. So I'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. I think I have to take a break right now, but I'll be back in just a few minutes and we'll talk a little bit more about what's going on. Stay tuned.
Thanks, Mary. You're listening to Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back with part two update from our friend, Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Earl Ingram.
The dismantling of diversity, equity, and inclusion under Donald Trump has already begun. On the next show, we'll talk with Dr. Eva Martinez-Paulus about what DEI really is.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
They produced yacht rock hits that defined an era. It's Ambrosia.
Your biggest part of me.
With special guest John Ford Coley. October 12th at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Tickets on sale now through Ticketmaster. Soft rock that rocked the yacht. It's Ambrosia and John Ford Coley. October 12th at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Must be 21 to attend concert.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity.
The Bucks beat the Heat. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks won their fifth game in a row, 125-96 over the Miami Heat. The Bucks didn't get back to Milwaukee until less than 3 hours before the game after being stuck in a blizzard for 3 days in New Orleans at the team hotel. Damian Lillard led with 29 points and had a pregame speech before the tip-off.
The situation that we were in, you know, the last couple of days is obvious, but you don't want the room to just be quiet and everybody to just kind of go out there and see what's going to happen. So for me, I just wanted to put that energy out there, like, you know, nobody gonna feel bad for us. Ain't no excuses. I don't want to hear I'm tired or I ain't feeling. Like, you got to take the opportunity for the team to even have that type of mentality away. As a leader of a team, you got to let the team know off the rip, like, we not doing that. We not having excuses. I don't care about the flight. I don't care we've been in a hotel. Like, you gotta take that away from the team.
That's the Bucks. Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here. And boy, what a day yesterday was, wasn't it? Did you watch the speeches? Did you see the rambling? Get ready for it. We've only got 3 years and 363 more days of it. Yeah, but on day one, it was dictator day and there were executive orders signed. Freed the patriots and the hostages. In fact, some 1,500 quote-unquote patriots and hostages were pardoned by Trump as part of their activities, their good God-fearing, country-loving activities on January 6th, 2021. Six sentences were commuted, and I guess a party. We're gonna then hold January 6th as like a Heroes Day. I can see that happening. And the thing is I sat and I watched Trump talk a lot. And, oh my gosh, talk a lot. It's going to get worse. And I couldn't help but think, he's back. That's not a good thing. With more grievances than ever, whinier than ever. Actually, whinier than I remember. And less coherent. So it's going to be an interesting 4 years of rambling, self-aggrandizing speeches. Get ready for it. But the first set of executive orders, he repealed 78 Biden executive orders. We don't know what those are yet. And then did what we said he was going to do yesterday on the program. He went after federal workers freezing hiring. He went after them to make them go back to work. Also then froze all federal regulations. Yay. We evidently have now, again, I guess, withdrawn from the Paris Climate Treaty. And then he signed another letter saying that here's a letter saying I'm leaving the Paris Climate Accord. And then we're going to use, there was one to prevent government censorship. And then one to end weaponizing, you know, government against political appointees, which I found particularly interesting because if you listen to the whining, if you listen to the rambling, the incessant whining, oh my gosh, the crying, the complaining, if you listened, it was all about grievance. It was all about, we're going to go get them. And he was quite angry that Biden had preemptively pardoned, you know, Liz Cheney and Fauci and a bunch of folks. So yeah, fun. What I found really interesting is how my Red Hat friends were all losing their mind over Biden pardoning people. But when Trump did it, it was a hero in action. And the thing that gets me, and again, you know, the clown show is going to happen every day. They need it. They need the circus. They need the distraction so that we, like cats following a laser pointer, will be distracted when they do all of the horrible things that Project 2025 has laid out. They're doing all of it. And I found interesting that the New York Times published an article that said, look, you know what Trump's about to do, this economic experiment that they're laying out in front of us? You know, tax cuts for the very rich, tariff increases at a time when interest rates are still high, prices are still high. It's like every bit of negative economic activity you could do that would raise the costs of things, you're going to all do simultaneously in the hope that by some magic, prices will come down. I mean, that's the part that's quite remarkable to me anyway. We're going to try all of it. So I went to the Walmart website because I don't go into Walmarts, and a dozen of eggs is $4.17 right now at the Walmart. So that's going to be my bench going forward. If Walmart doesn't drop eggs down to $1 by tomorrow, I got questions. I got problems. Gas prices were $3.05 in my neck of the woods. So, you know, it's only going to have to drop by 2/3 tomorrow. We'll see. We'll see if this economic dream is going to happen. Now, we all know that it's not. And look, even the sane and rational among us who make a joke about this know that Trump's got very little power and control in this world when it comes to this stuff. Now, he has issued an executive order to tell all of the people who work for him in the government to go after lowering prices. And good, you know, I said, you know, Biden should have done that. And I said there should have been a senator who held commissions to go after corporate America and go after the greedflation and find why prices went up so quickly. Now, a lot of it had to do with a broken supply chain. A lot of it had to do with, you know, the way that we allow corporations to monopolize. There's a lot of that. We don't want those answers, though. No. We're going to find something else, and it's always going to be blaming the little guy. But for me, watching what they do outside of the circus is what I think is really important. And this is what we've been saying all along. While he's performing, you know, being the monkey standing there with the grinder, his crew, the billionaires, the CEOs, the well-to-do, they're all going to do what they're there to do. And that is to deregulate. That is to cut taxes for themselves. That is to destroy labor rights. That is to do a lot of the things that they've been telling us they're going to do and that they wrote in Project 2025. We're going to see all of those things come to fruition, and in a way that they couldn't do the first time around. Understand, when Trump won the first time, nobody thought he was going to win, except me. Now they're all on board. They know that they've got their monkey in the grinder. They know that it's their circus now. They know that they can go in and get their CEOs, the head of every agency. Billionaires can get the head of every agency. When you've got a billionaire, Treasury Secretary saying, we're going to cut taxes for the very wealthy, but you know what? We're just not going to raise the minimum wage. I think you should know all you need to know. But we as working people, I think maybe we need a little time to digest. I think America is waking up today going, what have we done? You want to talk about buyer's remorse the day after? I think we're feeling that across the country right now after a whole day of listening to whatever that was. The whiny, the grievance, the oh, poor me and how wonderful I am. Yeah, it's going to get worse. But there's an opportunity here. There's an opportunity to organize, to stand up, to fight back. And we can do it. I want to hear your thoughts. Did you watch? Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Right back.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors, the American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, you're looking at the executive orders, as we've been talking about, lots of them. I haven't seen one yet on the tariffs that were supposed to come on day one. And look, this is part of the, as we just discussed, this is part of the new economic world where we're going to cut taxes, raise tariffs, especially where prices are high and wages are low. And that's supposedly somehow, through whatever magic and powers that Trump has, that's supposed to go against every economic law and actually work out. We will see. Here to share some thoughts on what we know at this moment on the tariff front, I've asked my good friend Scott Paul to come share some thoughts. He's the president of the Alliance for American Manufacturing, AmericanManufacturing.org, the website. Scott, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick. Good to be with you.
So what do we know so far? We thought day one, you know, the dictator day, or you know, I'm not sure when the dictator ends, but I thought day one it was going to happen. Tariffs across the board, everything on China, a bunch on Mexico, everybody else. Where are we?
What did we hear? The 60-25-2010 plan, right? Or something like that. That was, I guess that was what it was during the campaign. So we're not there yet. And I don't know that that's a bad thing necessarily. And look, I know you and I both agree that tariffs have a role
Absolutely.
In economic policy and that we should not be afraid of them
Without question.
And that we should probably wield them more,
sure.
right? You
yep.
know, and so it actually pains me to see some Democrats just like they're totally against tariffs no matter what now because Trump is for that. I don't think that's the right approach with the Democratic Party at all. But setting that aside, here's what we know. And obviously, this is changing all the time. There's not something that's going to put tariffs into place like right now, like, you know, today or tomorrow. Trump has verbally said that Canada and Mexico may get hit with tariffs as high as 25% as soon as February 1st. And that's based on fentanyl on the border. So we'll see, you know, that opens it up to a negotiation that they could get rid of that. Trump has said he put into place an executive order that would delay the enforcement of the TikTok law, which the Supreme Court said was constitutional. And there's really no wiggle room there. But somehow he's going to delay enforcement of it. For a while, but he said if China doesn't agree to a sale, he might put 100% tariffs on Chinese products. Again, verbal. There's nothing written about this at all, other than the order delaying enforcement of the TikTok law, which he really doesn't have the authority to do.
Yeah.
By the way,
if I could just stop here, can we
yeah.
I just want to talk about the TikTok thing because you know my son called me on Sunday and said, "Hey, do you know anything about this?" And I said, "Yeah, a little bit." The Supreme Court, you know, ruled that the law was constitutional. It was a unanimous decision, both Democrats and Republicans. It was a really bipartisan piece of legislation. The Supreme Court unanimously upheld it. So it's going to go into effect. He goes, "But I'm hearing that Trump is saving it. Didn't Trump start this?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah, he did." And sadly, you're going to have a very long life, and you're going to suffer a lot because you have a memory. And that's a bad thing in America today, that you're going to remember what the previous guy did that he's now taking care of. But what my son was saying is his friends are saying that, you know, Trump's a hero. Trump's the savior of free speech. He saved TikTok.
Yeah, well, and then TikTok, like, put it up on their screens, yeah, too, apparently. I mean, I don't get it, but they're like, thanks to the president. Which is what he probably demanded. But
who wasn't president yet, but, you know.
You're right. You're right. It is one of those things that people do have short memories. People can take both sides of a position and try to come out smelling like roses. But I do think, I'm going to be real here. I mean, I care a lot more about other manufacturing security issues than I do about TikTok, but I realize most Americans care a lot about TikTok because either they're really for it or they're really against it. And there's, 130 million whatever accounts in the United States. So it matters to a lot of people. But I mean, to me, I think that I would have liked to see a firmer approach on that, because I think that's how you need to handle China, that you need to say, look, we're going to enforce the law. We're going to be tough. We're going to give you some room to show to us that you're changing your ways. I don't see that happening on trade, by the way, or on TikTok. But rather than doing this punting thing, yeah, which is going to endear him to all the TikTokers and set a bad precedent for some of these other issues with respect to China. And all he said, Rick, about the rest of China trade right now is that he wants his administration to review how well his first China deal went, his phase one deal.
Oh, the best deal ever? You mean that one?
Yeah. He called it the best deal ever, and they literally did nothing.
Nothing.
Okay, China did nothing. So that's what they're going to fight. And then he's also said to his administration that we got to look at, you know, the way countries are manipulating their currencies. And there's already a process in place to do that. But he said that as well. And he parked for the time being a conversation about the universal tariffs, either the 20% tariffs or the 10% tariffs. That's not to say they're off the table, but it is to say that they're still trying to figure out the right way to do that and whether to use some of them for revenue, for the tax cut.